with me this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. One verse, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this: Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Let me say it again. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you again that your word is unlike any other word that has ever been on the face of this earth. It is a living word. It is a powerful word. It is an eternal word. When everything burns, that word will remain. And I thank you, Father, that your word has a way of coming into the hardest of hearts, the darkest of minds, the most in bondage person. Your word has a way of breaking in and from the inside out, bringing revelation and truth and freedom. So, Father, today, as your word goes forth, as you have exhorted us in your word to be a workman who is not ashamed, but a workman who knows how to handle the spiritual things of the kingdom, today I thank you that you have prepared every heart to receive what is being sown here this morning. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession again of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say those things that I hear you say and do those things that I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch or pervert what is going to be sown this morning. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you again. You are speaking in these days to your church. I thank you that today you will be saying things into the hearts of those who are listening, words that are not coming out of my mouth. You're going to speak directly. Lord, let them know it's you. Let that word be captured and let them be obedient to it. As we declare, we believe one word from you can change everything. So, Father, by faith, we say thank you in advance for what's going to happen this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody in agreement said, amen. I want to tell you one of the fun things in ministry. We've experienced it over and over and over and over. Dana and I have talked, Zach and I have talked. We don't, as leaders, I don't talk to the worship leaders before they put their sets together. They don't talk to me. We just rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and direct. And I can't tell you the amount of times at the end of a service we will talk to each other and go, wow, you were leading exactly what's going to be spoken about, and God lays in my heart, and they say that's exactly what God was laying in my heart, putting it together, and the two of them just blended, and I'll tell you, that's incredible confirmation for me, for them. We hear the same thing, and we move in that direction, and I want to say this morning is one of those mornings. No idea at all what God was laying upon Zach's heart, what he was leading, what he said in worship, and yet the entire time, it was God that is exactly what you have been speaking and what you're going to be doing this morning. And so just want you to know that there is confirmation in the Spirit as to what God is doing here today. How many of you believe today is going to be a changing day in your life? How many of you believe that? Yeah. How many of you came here just to go through the motion today? Okay. This morning, before we begin, I want to ask you a question. And I want to just say it really clearly. This question may seem like a no-brainer, okay? Someone has often said, you probably heard a teacher say this, there is no such thing as a dumb question. Have you ever heard that? Okay, I don't agree. There are some dumb questions, okay? There are some. And if you're a teacher, there are some really dumb questions. So this one may seem like a really dumb question that I'm going to ask you this morning, but I want you to answer it anyway. Because I want you to understand that there is a grand canyon between answering with mental assent going, oh yeah, I agree, and answering with a deep resolve that you go, yes, I agree, and as a result of that, things are going to change in my life. There's a grand canyon between them. Let me give you an example. If I were to ask you if you would like to be in better physical condition than you are right now, how many of you would go, yes, I want that? How many of you would just raise your hand if you would? Okay? Most of us would say, yeah. There are some of us with mental assent who would go, yeah, I want to be in better condition, but that would be it, and you would walk away, nothing would happen. Some of you go, you know what? He just said a word from the Lord. I want to be in better condition. God, what do I need to change? And you begin making plans to change where you are to move to where you want to be. I won't ask which one you are. Let me give you one more. If I were to ask you, how many of you want to begin eating better in your life? Just raise your hand if that's you. You want to eat better than you are. Yeah, the majority of us. Now there's going to be a pile of people who go, yeah, I want to eat better. I really do. But they walk away and nothing will change in their eating pattern. They will just carry on. They gave mental assent, but there was no change on the inside. There are those who will hear, that was a word from the Lord for me this morning. I forgot everything else Pastor Colin said, but the Holy Spirit said, you need to get your eating straight, and you begin thinking about what needs to be removed, what has to be put in, and you make changes on the inside. You agree internally, not just with your head. Does that make sense? Let me give you a question. Here it is. This is the question the Lord, first of all, asked me. And then afterwards, then the Lord said, Colin, I want you to ask the church family the same thing. This is the question. He said, over the next 2 months, July and August, he said, Colin, do you want to grow spiritually? Over the next 2 months, do you want to grow spiritually? During a time when most just put things in cruise control, flip into summer mode, holiday mode, take life easy mode, do you want to, Colin, do you want to grow spiritually? When I ask you this, the Lord is saying your name, and he's saying, do you want to grow spiritually? If the answer on the inside of you is, yes, I do, I want these 2 months to be growth spiritually in my life, would you just stand with me this morning? If that is true, just stand with me right now. If not, just remain seated where you are. All right, please be seated. What I need to share with you is an action plan that God laid upon my heart that will help me and you to do that. How many of us, can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever heard of the program Choices? You've heard the program Choices? How many of you have been to Choices? How many of you have been? Raise your hand high. Just two of us. Choices is a 5-day program. I went to Calgary. Cheryl, where did you go? Did you go to Calgary? Calgary. A 5-day program. It is a Wednesday all the way to Sunday. Dr. Phil and Thelma Box actually developed the program. They were the ones that put it together years ago. Dr. Phil decided to go the route of taking his to the TV. Thelma Box took hers to the route of 5-day seminars. The two of them put it together. I had the opportunity to go to Calgary a number of years ago. I want to tell you, for some people, Choices is a program that is absolutely life-changing. For some people, not so much. But one of the activities that we as attendees were a part of, and Cheryl, you'll remember this, I'm sure, it was the activity called the stretch. You remember the stretch? Kind of. You'll remember it in a bit. The stretch is one of those activities that was designed to cause you to grow and take you outside your comfort zone and bring you to a place of greater freedom in your life, to move you past the bondage of what other people think of you. Getting getting to the point where it's like, I need to be unconscious of what other people think of me, and I need to become more free, unconsciously free, with what I'm doing. It was a fascinating evening. Not only to be a part of it, but it was fascinating to watch the other attendees be a part of it. And I want to say this, regardless of what people thought about that stretch, because the opinions were varied, it had one purpose, and it was to cause you to grow. It was the stretch. To consciously move you outside the wall of your comfort zone, where growth always takes place, and to do what the name says, to stretch you, to grow you, to expand your comfort zone, to give you a confidence to do things in public that you would have never done before. That's what it was about. Well, this morning I need to share with you five things that have the potential to stretch you physically. No, to stretch you spiritually. Five things to stretch you spiritually to help you grow in these summer months. And I want to just say it up front that for many of us, what I'm going to share with you this morning isn't a big stretch because you're already at that place. But for many people in the church, these will be a major stretch. I would like you to write them down. James is going to throw them up on the screen. If you have a piece of paper, I would encourage you, because there will be a test at the end. Just make sure, would you? Number one, when you write down, pray for someone in public. Pray for someone in public. Can I ask you, how many times when you're talking to someone in a public place, someone tells you what's going on in their life, and you have a thought inside of your mind that goes, I should pray for you. You have a thought in that moment, I should pray for you. And then what we do is we take it and we reduce it down in our mind, and before we leave, we go, I'm going to be praying for you, and we walk out, but we know that the prompting was, pray for you now. Don't raise your hand if you've ever had it, because the truth is, we have all had that happen. And I want you to think about this. The prompting of the Holy Spirit, whether you are in the grocery store, whether you're in the hardware, the restaurant, the parking lot, or in the park, it doesn't matter where you are. The Holy Spirit tells you, I want you to pray for that person now. Pray for them. For some, like I said, this is not a hard thing to do because you have already stretched into it. You've done it. You didn't die. And you are at a place where you are not giving in to the comfort of your flesh, but you're now going, Holy Spirit, I know that's you. I'm doing it. You've learned to override the flesh and be obedient to the Spirit. But I want to tell you, for some, and I would say for many, this is way outside the comfort zone. And it would take a great stretch in order to do it. That's where the growth is. I want to make you a promise as one who, like you, has had to grow into this area. None of us begin here. We have to grow into it. I promise you, when you do it, you will not die. Will not pass out. Would you just write that down? I won't die. I won't pass out. Just write that down, would you? Some of you need to be reminded. You will feel like it. And the enemy will tell you that you will. And every thought of it is so uncomfortable, I don't even want to think about it, and you want to put it out of your mind. But I said, I want to grow. God, I want to stretch. God, I want to be more mature spiritually tomorrow than I was yesterday. I need to go outside my comfort zone where that happens. God, I will be obedient to pray for someone in public. At the end of this message, I'm going to ask you if you truly are hungry and desirous to grow in the Spirit, I'm going to ask you publicly in these next 2 months to do that. Did you write down number two? fasting is a discipline that is almost non-existent. I won't do it right now, but in this church, if I were to ask you right now, and not just not eating, because not eating is not fasting. Not eating can be self-deprecation. Not eating can be I don't have time. Not eating can be not lack of discipline. Not eating can be a pile of things. Not eating with prayer during those times, with being in the Word during those times, that is the prayer and fasting, not just not eating. Don't get that confused at all. A pile of you don't eat. But not many fast. In years gone by, I want to tell you, and it moved me as a new believer, it was a given in a person's spiritual life for fasting to be a part of it. That used to be the given. If you're a believer, you will fast. If that was a qualification today, the majority of people would not be believers. I remember hearing about Dwight L. Moody. As he was training up pastors, he told his pastors, if you're going to be a pastor and you're going to minister, you fast every Tuesday and every Friday. That was a given. There was no choice for the pastors. Spiritually, that is what you do. And why do you do that? You fast to put the flesh to death. You fast to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You fast to increase your faith. You fast in order to be more attuned to the presence of God and to hear His voice with greater clarity. I want to tell you something. There has been nothing that has developed my faith and my spiritual maturity like the discipline of fasting in my spiritual life. There has been nothing that has done it like fasting. To begin with a meal, that's how I began, missing one meal, I didn't die. Then it moved to a whole day, three meals. I didn't die. Then the Lord laid in my heart, Colin, I want you to fast for 3 days. I didn't die. Then the Lord said, Call, I would like you 10 days. I didn't die. Then the Lord said, Call, I want you to do 20 days. I didn't die. And then the Lord said, Call, I want you to step into a 40-day. Do you think I died? I never knew that God could sustain you mentally, spiritually, physically. And I got to tell you, when God called me into a 40-day fast, it was in the middle of hay season. When we were making square bales years ago for our sheep, we put up 1,600 bales and had to haul them on a trailer during that 40-day fast. He didn't just call me to fast. He called me during a very strenuous time to fast. And you know what God did? Proved himself to be what I never knew he could be. I want to tell you, during that period of time, I didn't die, but can I tell you what did die? A huge amount of my flesh. A huge part of my flesh died. My spirit man came alive, became stronger, became more sensitive. I will tell you that everything that will cause you to grow spiritually, everything I'm going to share with you this morning, your flesh is not going to like. And already, even with the first one, a pile of you are hearing inside of you going, I'm not doing that. Praying for someone in public, are you? That's not happening with me. I know I should. I know it'll cause me to grow, but I'm not doing it. Even fasting for one day, inside of you already the thoughts are, you know what, I don't need to fast. That was for the old believers, the old saints. That doesn't do it anymore. And you just carry on. And can I just say this to you? It's your choice. You want to grow spiritually? I would encourage you. Romans 8 says this, the flesh and the spirit are diametrically opposed. I want to say to you this summer, one day, no food. During that time, when you would regularly eat, you take that time, you read, and you pray. You want to grow? One day. Would you write down number that faith comes by hearing? Just raise your hand if you believe that. Faith comes by hearing. We believe that. We say we believe that. Let me tell you what not only the church has known all down through time, but the enemy has known all down through time. In fact, Billy Graham was one of them who trumpeted the loudest. He said, the number one means that people come to know Christ is not evangelism, it is not books, it is not the church. What is the number one way that people come into relationship with Christ? What is it? One-on-one relationship and conversation. That is the number one means that the Holy Spirit uses in order to bring people into relationship with Him. In a conversation with someone, telling their story, the before and after. Telling the story, this was my life without Jesus, and I can tell you about that. This is my life now with Jesus, and the Grand Canyon is huge. I've told you this before. There are those who have been in the church for years, who have worn the label of Christian for years, who have never once shared their story. Ever. Don't raise your hand. And why? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's not comfortable. My flesh does not like, there is no peace inside of me that makes me want to do that. In fact, the thought that hits me is, they wouldn't be interested in my story because I didn't kill anyone. I didn't have an abortion. I wasn't part of what took place. Here's the best one. I would have no clue what to say. I thought some time of doing a sermon on the 100 things the enemy uses to keep believers silent from sharing their story. Let me say this. Greater is He who is in you than? I wonder if we believe that. Greater is He who is in me. When I step out in faith, it will not be me speaking, but who? The Father speaking through me. I believe that. You want to grow? Share your story. One time in the next 2 months. Can I ask you, do you believe that if you begin praying, God, prepare me, God, give me opportunity, God, help me see the opportunity, God, give me the boldness to do it, do you think that prayer would be in the center of His will? Do you believe it with me? If it is, God says, I will answer in accordance with my will. We begin to pray, God, one time, empower me to share my story over these next 2 months. I guarantee you the opportunity will arise. You want to grow? Share your story. Would you write down number 4? Would you write down, follow Holy Spirit's leading? Follow Holy Spirit's leading. I do want to ask you this, and I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever had this happen to you? You are just going about your day, just doing all the normal things, and all of a sudden, somebody's name pops into your mind, and you have the thought, I should give them a call. How many of you have ever had that happen? Just raise your hand, would you? Yes. Almost all of us have had that happen. It pops in your mind and go, you know what, I should phone Bob. Right out of the blue. Wasn't thinking about Bob. I should phone Bob. I should phone Mary. And then you get the thought, you go through the mental process of disqualifying the thought, you dismiss it, you carry on with life, and you never phone Bob or Mary. Don't raise your hand. Because we've all done it. Until we begin to realize that when that thought comes, that may be Holy Spirit speaking to me, Colin. Call Bob. Even though I don't know Bob very well, even though he sits on the opposite side of the church of me and I've never really talked to him, the Holy Holy Spirit says, call Bob. Let me ask you why. Bob might need encouragement. Bob might need a word of hope spoken into him at that moment. Bob might need to know that God is thinking of him. I want to give you something that happened in my life just a short time ago. We had friends that we made in seminary 30 years ago over in Saskatoon. Don't talk to them a great deal. Live in a different country. Haven't thought about them for however long. I'm going about my day. All of a sudden, the Lord lays on my heart and says, I want you to phone the wife. I want you to phone. And I knew when that hit me, it was not tomorrow. It was not later in the day. It was not next week when you have time. The thought hit me, I want you to phone her now. So, I've grown to learn when that happens. I know that's the Holy Spirit. I stopped what I was doing. I got my phone. I went and I called. She picked up the phone. She says, hello. I said, hi. I said, the Lord just laid you on my heart and I just needed to phone you to see how you're doing. Do you know what her first statement to me was? She said, Colin, I know that you hear from the Lord. She had just entered the emergency room of their hospital in their city. Her husband was not even with her. She checked herself in the emergency room. She told me all that was happening in her life. I had an opportunity to pray with her. I followed up with her later. But for her, that was exactly what she was needing in the moment. And how did I know? Let me tell you, I didn't know. Holy Spirit knew. And when he spoke her name and said, I want you to phone, all I did was follow through. Can I ask you a question? Do you want to grow? Follow through when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something. You follow through. And I remember the thought. When God was first teaching me this, I remember, and the Lord said to me, Cole, what's the worst that can happen? And I've done this. What is the worst that can happen if I phone somebody, or if I go see somebody, or if I do something thinking it's the Holy Spirit? What is the worst that can happen? Someone picks up the phone and I say, hey, just been thinking about you. I said, how you doing? They go, hey, I'm doing great. There was not a single thing. I couldn't pick up a reason why I phoned them. I would rather be wrong 100 times than to miss it one time. What's the worst that can happen? Just thinking about you. Just wanted to say hi. And they'll go, great, appreciate that. You want to grow? Follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be conscious not to dismiss it, because the majority of us dismiss it all the time. Some of you, the Lord just spoke to you right now. That was what this whole service is about. He just spoke to you. You know it. Number five, would you write this down? Read the four spiritual laws to somebody. Read the four spiritual laws to somebody. I will never forget years ago when, as a new believer, someone said, if you can read, you can win people to Jesus. They said, if you can read, you can help to deliver people of demonic oppression. If you can read, you can do it. The number one thought of the enemy is, I don't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know how to pray with someone. I could never lead someone to Christ. But let me ask you, what if someone else knew what to say? What if someone else wrote down what to say? What if someone else printed it and gave it to you and said, you don't need to know what to say. If you can read, you can do it. I will never forget when Kenneth Copeland made a statement. He said in the early years of his ministry, he didn't have one original sermon. Moses' words that God used. Why do we think we have to be smart enough to come up with the original? If you can read, you can do it. They wrote it on paper. All I had to do was read what they said and trust Holy Spirit to use someone else's words. I want to ask you a question right now, and I want you to respond. If you can read, would you stand with me? If you can read, would you stand where you are? If you can't read, just stay seated. But if you can read, stand up, would you? Please be seated. Do you know there are places around the world, if I asked that question, there would be a pile of people not standing? Because legitimately, there are some who can't read. So for them, the Holy Spirit uses something different. But I want to say this, for here, in our country, in this church, if you can read, God can use you. My spiritual infancy, I cannot tell you how many times I would be talking to someone and I would say, are you open if I read a little pamphlet with you that would say this way better than I can? And most of the time they would say yes. The odd time, I would pull out the four spiritual laws, I would flip around, I would read it to them, somebody else's words, all I would do is read, and at the end of it, they would go, I would like to pray that prayer and receive Christ. How did I do that? I could read. I pushed through my flesh that was not comfortable with it. And can I just say, when you're touching spiritual things, if your flesh is not comfortable, that is a good sign. Can I say that? If your flesh is squealing, you know you are pretty close to Holy Spirit. I pushed through the lies that were flying in my head, and I did what I believed. I could read someone else's words. Holy Spirit used them. They pray the prayer. If they pray it, that's great. If they don't, can I tell you, I've done my part. I've planted a seed, and now the Holy Spirit can use it. I've just done my part. And what did I do? I read. What's required to do that? Number one, you've got to have the four spiritual laws. How many of you have the four spiritual laws in your possession? How many of you have one? If you don't have one, I challenge you to get one. Some of you will go, I don't want one because then I'll have to read it. I challenge you to get a four spiritual laws. Number two, when you get it, I encourage you to read it through on your own so you're not stumbling over it the first time when you're with somebody. Number three, when you're in conversation, you ask the question, could I just read this to you? And number four, you read it. How tough is that? Beginning of this message, I asked you a question. I said, how many of you want to grow spiritually? And most all of us stood. In a moment, I'm going to ask you again. But this time, with a plan to stretch, a plan to grow, a plan to get outside of your comfort zone and mature, five things in the will of God, pray with someone in public. Fast for one day. Share your story. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Read the four spiritual laws to one person. In 2 months. All things that will make your flesh go, forget it. But your spirit man will go, I want to be used by God. I want to grow. I want to come out of August more spiritually mature and strong than I went in the beginning of July. I want to ask you a question. Not mental assent, but from the inside going, I want to grow, and I will take these five steps to the Lord in order to beginning to rise up in the areas of our spiritual walk, about stepping outside of our comfort flesh zone and beginning to be led by you, Holy Spirit, to do what we may have never done before. Father, we know that in these days you are raising up your church. Not the church of form, not the church of flesh, but the church of power. A church that is willing to put the flesh to death and get up in the morning. A church that is willing to put the flesh to death and be obedient to the smallest prompting of you, Holy Spirit, in order for you to flow through us and change people's eternities. Father, this morning, right now, you are looking at the heart and mind of every person in this place. It amazes me, Jesus, that you chose 12, and through those 12, you lost one, 11. 11 who changed the entire world. God, in this place, past the flesh, you have planted inside of your children a desire to grow, a hunger to become more, a hunger to be used by you. Father, right now, I ask that you would release an anointing over every person standing in this place. God, that you would begin to prepare them. You would empower them. You would remind them they are not alone, but it is you on the inside of them. Prophetically declare the opportunities to pray with people in public will begin to manifest in their lives. They will see it and they will be obedient. I prophetically declare the opportunities to share their story will manifest. They will see it and they will share the before and after. I prophetically declare their one day of fasting will open a door that will never again be shut and take them into a new place of growth, a new place of authority. I prophetically declare that as they read that four spiritual laws, that Holy Spirit, you will use someone else's words and you would create faith inside of people. Prophetically declare that these are a people who hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When they are being led to make the phone call, they will make the phone call. When they are led to go, they will go. When they are led to do anything, they will follow that in obedience. I thank you in advance spiritual growth that is going to take place in the next 2 months in the lives of every person standing in this place. And to you we'll give the glory. As our flesh dies and our spirit man arises, would you be glorified? We will be the first to know it wasn't us, it was you. Anybody says, wow, look what you did, we'll go, no. My flesh was screaming. It was the Spirit of God on the inside of me. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. Father, thank you that you have called us to greater growth. We will experience it. You all stand with me this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord. I declare to you as a child of God what you already know. The Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he's been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you. He has already filled you with his peace and his power.